Thank you, Ms. Williams. All right, I'm going to ask the men, if you're an ordained man in our church, and you'd like to be a part of the ordination council, if you'll come now. Brother George Aquise is going to be the man that we're going to be ordaining tonight. Brother George, if you'll make your way up here, and we'll get the chair set up for you right here as well. Yes, sir. You can come up here for now. I'd like to just let you know, kind of, maybe you've never been a part of an ordination service. Here we believe the Bible, and the Bible says that men necessarily, God called Brother George into his work, and we'll hopefully get a question about that tonight, but it is the local church that ordains and sends out a man, and so that's what we're doing here tonight. Brother George was here in our college for several years and did a good job, and so we're going to try to go back a little bit. Pastor Carter is going to give just a little bit of a testimony in just a minute or so, but we want to go through this, but I want to pray. Brother, if you men will sit down, you can be seated. I want to pray as we begin the service tonight and just ask the Lord to bless our ordination service tonight. Dear God, we come to you the best way we know how, God, and we just ask you again, Lord, that you just ordain this meeting together of your people, Lord, on this Wednesday night as we've come to normally study your Bible and just fellowship together tonight. Lord, we take time out, Lord, as a church to just put a stamp on a man that you've already put on him, that we've already seen in his life the work of God and the call of God in his life. And Lord, we just want to be able to identify that and to pray over him and to send him out to do the work that you've called him to do. God, I pray that you'd help us to do that tonight the best way that you've guided us to do that. I pray that you would be with our church, Lord. Help our church tonight, Lord, to get behind and pray. It would be no good if there's no prayer, because there'll be no power that goes there, Lord. I pray that you just help us to be a church that prays and gives, and we send out people like Brother George to go and to do the work of God. We thank you for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Tonight, again, we have our men that are up here. This is our ordination committee. These are going to be not only made up of men that are ordained preachers, but also of our deacons that are here a part of our church. And then also, I'd like to just explain to you that Brother George came to us predating my time here in the college, but I'll just give my short testimony, and then I'm going to ask Pastor Carter to come and give his testimony of Brother George, because Brother George was sent out of our ministry by Pastor Carter in our ministry here as a missionary, and so that was under his time as the pastor here, so he'll give his testimony as well. Many of you may not know Brother George and his family, but they had a great, stellar testimony. There's not many men that I've worked with, not only in the work of soul winning and being a part in the classroom and having a good focus on his a very good student of the Word of God, but he was also a good worker, and it means so much. If you know, there's more to the work than just praying. There's more to the work than just reading the Bible and witnessing. There's so much that has to be done hands-on. Through my life, I've watched so many people that see the life of someone who is a worker and realize that not only are they a worker, but there's something different about them. They have something in them that someone else needs. And so, Brother George and I spent some time together this week. He kind of told me some about the work, and so I'm excited for him. It's not like it is here. It's not legal. It's not free to go knock doors like it is here, to just go and try to witness to somebody. And so for time's sake, we won't let him give all the testimony tonight. It's for ordaining him. But now I'll ask Pastor Carter to come and to give his testimony of Brother George's time here at our church.
Well, thank you, Brother Parsons. I could add very little to what you've already said and what we both know. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 3, if you want to open your Bibles there, we'll read just a few verses, give us a good starting point for Brother George tonight. Bible speaks of the qualifications of a preacher. It says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 3, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And then the qualifications begin. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, of given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. We could talk on a number of these words and just want to sum it up by saying Brother George fits it all well. I think in particular here, talking about his family, about ruling his own house, his wife, his children. If he can't do a good job there, he'll not do a good job in the house of God. My experience, as well as Brother Parsons with Brother George, was here's a man that demonstrated character. He was a businessman before he came here, and yet he put himself in a position to not have the income, not have the perhaps the house and so forth that he would have had, but he had a calling from God. And so he turned from that other and came, and we were all impressed the way Brother George handled himself. He cared about his family, had a great family, and has it grown any since you left, Brother George? How many kids you got?
Still four.
Say it again.
Four kids.
Oh, you left here, you only had two, right?
Four.
I'm getting more senile all the time. But it was impressive the way that he cared for his family. And Brother Parsons already said he was a hard worker. A preacher that's afraid of work won't get the job done. Brother George demonstrated Christian character while he was here. I mean, demonstrated it well. He was here during some of our tough times of working on the old building. I remember at least once or twice when he had to help me down from the roof after I'd stayed up there too long. And we were all just doing all we could to get the job done. And I remember one time they got some short walls there. Now, they used to not be short to me, but a four-foot wall now is 8 foot tall, you know. And I remember I was on the wrong side of the wall, and I made an effort, and I didn't get over it. And Brother George looked at me, and I tried again. He said, well, just step on over. I said, I need some help, George. And he came and helped me over the wall. Thank God he didn't push me off the roof. But the truth was, he impressed us well. He was faithful. And then when it came to doctrine, he came here as a saved man, but he came from a different group. And as he studied with us, he saw some things that he needed to correct in his life. He had the character enough to go by what the Word of God said, and then to take a stand. When he got back with the folks that he'd served God with before, there's a lot of folks serving God, and they have a zeal, but they don't have the knowledge. Scripture talks about that. George came in as he got the knowledge, he adjusted to it. It increased his strength to serve God. And when he had to take a stand for what was right, he did it. That's character. That's character. And we appreciate Brother George. I'm so glad to be a part of this service tonight. I'm proud that our college can point to him as one that's graduated and serving on the field, representing us. I trust him. We'll maybe have a few questions tonight, but it'll just be part of the routine and the ceremony. It's not that we have any doubts about Brother George. We'll turn it back over to Brother Parsons, but I want you to pray for this man, pray for his family there on the field, and whatever, his wife and 10 kids or whatever he said a while ago. Just remember his family on the field, Brother Parsons.
Brother George has done a wonderful work. You guys make this thing hot. Amen. Amen.
All right.
Like we need to take a ton of time to do this because we taught him what he believes from the Bible College. And one of the things I'll just say quickly is Brother George probably won't take time to do this tonight, but if you guys can make this yellow mic hot as well, Brother George, if you'll grab that so everybody can hear you when you answer the question. Yes, sir. And let me just say that one of the things that impressed me most, Brother George came up in a country that doesn't have a lot of good churches like ours. And so one of the things that blessed my soul was when we was taught in a class that baptism is not just a picture of Christ, but it's also being baptized into a body of doctrine. And he realized that he was baptized in the right mode, but not in the right body of doctrine. And he and his family, while he was here at college, submitted themselves to be baptized into the body of Christ here. And you may think that that's a small thing, but that is, sometimes that's a hard thing when we're older and we come to that. But again, wanting to be, I just could see his heart wanting to yield to everything the Lord directed him in. And so for those reasons. And so we're going to take just a couple questions tonight. Brother Morgan.
Brother George, as a missionary for 26 years, I noticed that a lot of people left the field. And one of the main reasons they would leave the field was they were unsure of their calling. And so if you would, briefly as you can, tell us about your calling, God's call on your life to be a servant of God in a full-time capacity.
What I can say is the fact that God called me. I'm sure of that. And I'm ready to do what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go, and use me as you want. And so what I do believe of all my heart is that I'm ready to serve the Lord in the field, to fight with this,
amen,
with prayer, and also have my family close to me, because I need that. And do the best to the people that I have to serve and show them how good is God and share the gospel, the doctrine, the white one. I say the white one. I say the white one.
Amen.
I say the white one.
So again, is there another man that'll have a question? We'll just take a couple more. Anybody else that prepared one? I see the look, like who's going, right? So, amen.
Brother George, I don't know that all of our church folks know where you are serving the Lord. Tell us about it.
So right now I'm in France. Originally, I should be go back in French Guiana. It's a French country in South America. And so I put that in my head since I left over there. And so that was my plan, but a judge plan. But since I went over there in France and began to serve over there, I think God just showing me what he wants to show me, because I saw a big need. And we've been through a situation over there. It was really hard. I don't have time tonight to explain everything, but what I see, I saw people crying for Christ. I saw people missing what they think was good for them. And yes, for right now, we have a small group that we started 1 year ago, maybe 30 people when we are together, when we meet together. And so we need help. We're trying to serve. We're trying to do the best we can. We have 2-3 service a week. And so we have few people get baptized a few months ago. And so we kept doing the work the best we can.
Amen.
And so what I do know is that I can see people laugh and and sometimes cry, but we have all this in Christ, right?
Amen.
Yeah. That's a blessing over there, so yeah. Amen.
I'll quickly say, Brother George went to work with another missionary in France. He is originally, if you didn't get it from what I can translate for him very well. And so if you didn't get what he said was that he is originally from the country of French Guiana, came to our college from that place, and expected full-heartedly to go back there and plant a church and a work there, and went to train with a missionary in France. And during that training and situations happened, and now he is planting a church in France. And because of things that happened there, and again, his burden, God, again, his intention was to go back to his home country, but God has made him a missionary in France and Europe. And so that's something that we're praying for him. And so I'll just say this too, the pleasure of the church, a lot of times when we ordain a man, we wonder what he will do. And we could only see what he has done. And Brother George is not only someone who's done it here, but he's doing it there where he's at. And but for time constraints and things, we would have ordained this man long before today, but he had to get out of the country when he left. And we're so thankful that we can take time to do that tonight. If we have one more question, we'll take one more question. Yes, sir.
Brother George, I'm going to ask you the same question they asked me in this same set of bleachers. I'm King James Bible only. Every man sitting here is, and so are you now. But if you were to change your mind and decide to use a different Bible, would you resign this ordination?
I'm going to say it slowly the best I can.
Amen.
That cannot happen.
Amen.
Do you hear me? Amen. That will not happen.
Amen.
Because I know the truth. And somewhere in the Bible, I think John 8:32, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. So I praise God that I'm free about these things. And when you know the truth, just let the truth lead you. Amen. And I praise God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So I want to do this. And now that we've had our questions, I'd like to see if there are one of our deacons that would recommend him for ordination tonight. We have a second. Amen. Brother Willis, Brother Randy tripled it up with the third. And so I want the church to vote that will ordain this man at this time tonight. And everyone who's a member, your hand, amen, and so carried. And I'm glad you did that because we were going to, say amen. So, all right, so what we're going to ask, that is the church that does it, amen. And so we do want to make sure that that's something that we do tonight. So we're going to go ahead and do the charge now. And so we're going to ask the men on the ordination council if you will sit on the front rows and wait until after the charge is over, and then we will come up and pray for Brother George, if you also will take your place on the front row. And then if you'll open your Bibles to 1 Timothy with us tonight. I won't be in the exact same place as Pastor was, but close. So 1 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles, 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Tonight in the message, this is directed at Brother George tonight, but I hope you'll be able to take some of this with you, some of you men that are ordained, and you know, it's good for us to be charged. Paul the Apostle was writing to his son Timothy in the faith. And he's writing to him under the inspiration of God. He's going to give him some direction here in the scripture. And I just want to remind Brother George of some things as we look towards his call and the direction that he's going. He's already there working on the field, but I just want him to remember some things. I want him to remember this night when he gets to the hard places in his life, when sometimes he feels like he's alone, and I'm sure he's already had some of those times. We want him to come to a place where he remembers these. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, and look at verse 12. Paul is speaking here to Timothy, and he says, "And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, for they hath counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and the love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning the faith have made shipwreck. I want you to remember some things tonight, Brother George, and even as church members, we need to realize that this life, we have two options. We are in this work. We're the workmanship of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're made in, again, he's purchased us by his own blood. And those of us that are called into the ministry, he's set aside for his own. And again, on any good ship, and just like in the church that you'll continue in, there's somebody that has to be the under shepherd and at the helm and guide the ship. But the sad part is, according to the scripture, some folks don't hold the faith. Some don't hold a good conscience. The two things that will determine a man's destiny in the ministry is whether you hold to the faith and whether you continue with a good conscience. There are too many people in this life who have soiled them. So they've continued in the faith, but they were just a hollowed shell with no power because they had no good conscience towards God. They had done things in their secret life and away from things that hurt them. And I don't believe that's true of you, Brother George, but the things that would definitely tonight, as he comes and he says, I commit unto thee, son Timothy. And he talks to him about these things. He says, you need to hold to the faith. You need to have a good conscience. There'll be hard decisions that you'll make on the mission field, but you'll always need to first weigh them by the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Take the Bible and measure everything by the Word of God. It is our sole authority for faith and practice. And second of all, you need to come to a place where you make sure that you can live with that. That I'm making the choice, because one day you'll stand before God and give an answer for every decision you made as a leader in God's work, in God's church. So I want you to see some things. Go back to verse number 12 with me. I want you to remember your call. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. I can remember times, Brother George, that you and I sat down, and I remember you felt like you were not capable of some of the things that you're currently doing, even today. But God has enabled you to do the work of God in his way and in his will, and he'll continue to enable you to do whatever he calls and directs you to do from his word and in his will, if you'll just follow him. I can remember the day I didn't feel like I was able to do what God's called me to do. There are men on the front row that probably were shy and didn't ever want to get up in front of anybody and speak. And again, there's many other things that we feel like we are not capable, but we have a God who enables us to do so much more than we could ever ask or think if we would just come to him and let him direct us, and we'll follow him. Remember your call, my brother. Look down a few verses with me. He goes on in verse number 15. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. I want you to remember the message. Don't forget the message. You were taught a message here at this Bible college and in this church. And it's not that, you know, there's a few different ways that you can get to heaven, but that there's only one way to get to heaven. And that's through the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified, buried, and risen again on the third day. There's no other gospel without the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must remember that that is the foremost. If we're not careful, we'll go to a lost and dying world and try to heal the wounds of the outside of the man without taking them Jesus, who can heal their soul. We must desperately remember that we not only have a call, but the call is to be a witness of Jesus Christ in this life. It's first and foremost. There are so many things that the shepherd does for the sheep, But first and foremost, it's salvation. Salvation, salvation. Taking the good shepherd to the sheep. Amen? And so again, never forget that. Don't forget that. But I mean, how about this? Remember where you came from. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. You're not just a Christian, Brother George. You're a Baptist. And here you were taught to be a Big B Baptist, not to just go along with some non-denominational mess where they don't know what they really believe. But the Baptist faith is believing the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. We believe the truth of the Word of God, and we want to stand upon that truth. And we don't want to try to rub shoulders with those that don't or mix everything else in. And we believe we have separation. We don't believe separation, that we separate from the world just to separate from the world. We separate from the world so we can separate to God. Sometimes we come into a world where the world thinks we just hate the world. No, Brother George, the world hates us. And all the time in this life, we're supposed to remember our call, what our message is, and that where we came from. We need to remember that there was a man, amen, sent from God that came before him. And we're not Baptists just because John was a Baptist. We're Baptists because God's a Baptist, amen? We're not just Baptists. And you say, well, that's a denomination. No, that is a defining name that defines a body of doctrine. And when we stand someday in heaven, you say, well, they may not be called that. Whatever they're called, amen, I want to be called faithful to the doctrine of this Word of God. And again, today in our age and where we live, that name is Baptist. Amen. And so remember where you came from, Brother George. Don't just forget that, again, you were a sinner, that you were lost and on your way to hell. Remember that you came to the truth, and when you decided to become what was most like this book, you became a Baptist. Amen. So remember where you came from. Not only that, remember who you serve. Look at the Bible in verse number 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. How about this? If we could just remember who we serve on a daily basis. Sometimes we can remember our call. We can remember that we have a message. And we can remember, again, that, you know, where we came from. But sometimes God isn't as big as he once was in our eyes. When we have a small God, we've got problems, Brother George. When he's not the King eternal, when he's not immortal and invisible and the only wise God, when we start thinking that we can go other places to get wisdom, we live in a day and age, Brother George, that we want to read men's books instead of God's books. When the wisdom for the Lord's church and the guidance for his people is in his word. It's not, and I could start listing names to you tonight, but if you're not careful, you'll start looking to men's methods to grow your church when you ought to be looking to the King eternal. When you ought to be looking to the immortal God, to the invisible one, the only wise God. And when we look to him, Brother George, and we seat him on the throne room of our heart, and we, again, then we are, what the Bible says in verse 16, we are showing a good pattern to them which should hereafter believe. I want my people to see that I believe in the King eternal, that God is high and lifted up in my life, and I want you to be able to pattern that for your people. As they follow you, they see that they're not just following you. They're following you as you follow Christ. He needs to be high and lifted up. I want you to see this lastly. Remember, we're in a fight. He says, this charge I commit unto thee in verse 18, thee son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience. You know, in this first book, Paul talks about him that he might war a good warfare. Turn over with me to 2 Timothy. Paul writes, and some believe this is the last writing of Paul. It's definitely the last writing to Timothy. But in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, Paul says in that chapter, in verse chapter 4 and verse number 1, he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. If you're not careful, Brother George, you'll let yourself become again. The man of God ought to be apt to teach, but he's supposed to be a preacher. Amen. He is supposed to reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The lines where we draw the lines, it ought to be exhorting them to get with the book and drawing the line in the sand where doctrine draws the line in the sand. This book says in verse 5, he says, but watch thou in all things, enduring affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof thy ministry. Paul says to his son Timothy, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That holding faith in a good conscience, I see this right here at the end of Paul's life. The key to serving God and facing him one day when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ as a man of God ordained to do the work of the ministry, we'll stand, and the key will be, have you fought a good fight? Every man that's in the ministry will fight. And there's a lot of men said, did you fight a good fight? And I really believe the two keys are found in 1 Timothy, where he says, holding the faith. That's the measuring stick. Did I stick to the book? And did I leave the battlefield with a good conscience? I only cut the ones God told me to cut. I only slayed where God told me to slay, and I was long-suffering where God told me to be long-suffering. Because you'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and there'll be days when you're supposed to reprove, rebuke, and there's times you're supposed to have long-suffering. And if you're not careful, at the back end, late in your ministry, if you're not careful and you follow God, you'll come to that place where you don't have a good conscience about all those things. And more than anything, I want for you to be able to serve God in this earthly life, holding the faith, finishing your course with joy, and having fought a good fight for the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'd like to do now is, if we can grab this chair, Brother George, you get in this chair right here, and then if Pastor Carter, if you'll start us off, and I'll finish everybody up. I want all the men to line up, and men, we're already at the top of the hour, so what I'd like for you to do, I want Pastor to pray first, and then I want every man here to put a hand on him, and this is not Pentecostal, but I want you to pray at once for time's sake tonight. All right, it's not going to be good radio, but after he prays, we want to get that mic where we can get Pastor Carter's voice. Every one of you men pray at one time for him, and then I'm going to come and finish it up. And then we want all you men to go over here and sign the ordination book, all right? Want to make sure that there's only 14 slots. I don't know how many men we have here, but if we can make sure Pastor Carter, myself, the college staff, and our deacons get on there first of all right? Pastor Carter, if you'd pray for Brother George.
Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for the occasion tonight. Father, churches have done just what we're doing from the very beginning, Father. We have in the Bible where men were ordained, where others prayed for them, laid their hands on them. So, Father, tonight we're following what you've taught us in the Word. We're asking your special blessing, your power on this man. We pray that you would give him souls for his hire, give him strength to stay faithful, to lead his family, to lead the people that will listen to him. Father, we pray for him to be able to keep the shield of the Word of God against the darts of the devil and the temptations that will come, the traps that will be set for him. We pray, Father, that he'll be able, through your grace and through your strength, to come out on the other side, even as Paul did, saying, I have fought a good fight. I finished my course. We believe this will happen. We thank you for what we already feel about Brother George, what he's already shown in our midst, the strength, the character, the compassion, and the ability to do your work. He's already shown us that, Father, so we expect much. But Lord, the scripture says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We pray for your spirit to be on Brother George in a special way. Bless the church, the work that started, the men that will be there holding up his hands. Give them strength, I pray. Thank you again, Father, that we can still practice tonight what's been done down through the ages and will be done until you say it's enough. So we ask your special blessing. Pray tonight, Father, that your spirit would be upon Brother George, that he might lead the ministry and see the soul saved, that you'll use him to reach. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we pray, Lord, that you'd help him and bless him. And I pray, Lord, you'd help him in the times of discouragement and trial. I pray that you give him strength to stay the course. I pray that you'd bless him in his family life, that you give him the wisdom he needs as he raises his children, as he meets the needs of his wife. And, Lord, I pray that you'd use him in your ministry. And we ask these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening asking you to separate this man to the gospel ministry and to the doctrine that we've been taught. And with a faith that's so precious, Father, I pray that he would never take that for granted. My prayer tonight is that, Lord, he would not get discouraged or stay discouraged when tough times come and trials come. I pray that he'd look to you for his source of strength in every endeavor. I pray that, Father, you would please put a hedge of protection around himself and his family. And I pray that you'd bless his ministry. And I pray that he would not compromise the things that he's been taught according to the Word of God. And I ask that tonight, Lord, your spirit would be strong upon him, be strong upon his family. And that, Father, many would be saved through his ministry, the ministry you've given him. Father, have your will and have your way by the power of your spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Lord, we pray for Brother George. Pray for his faith, Lord, that it is strong, unwavering, and strong for you, Lord, that he takes your word, preaches your word without conviction or unwavering conviction, Lord. We pray for his family, protection in a world that is falling apart, Lord, and we pray that you come back quickly. But Lord, we ask you to continue to give him the strength that he needs. In Jesus' name, amen.
Dear Lord, as we commit this man to your work tonight, God, I beg you that you'd give him power, not only in might of his body and his strength, Lord, but also in word as he goes forth, Lord, and preaches the unsearchable riches of Christ. God, I beg you that you give him every dollar that he's going to need to build his church, supply the needs of his home. God, be with his family. Give him everything that he's going to need. Give him all the men that he'll need along the way, Lord, and the women that he'll need to be strong people in his church. Lord, I pray that you'd raise up his children, Lord, that they might serve you as well, Lord, and be a part of his ministry, and Lord, that you'd use them mightily as well. God, I pray that you just watch over him, Lord, as he goes. And Lord, he's in a foreign land where there's a lot of folks that want to hurt Christians, Lord. I pray that you give him protection for him and his family, that you'd watch over him, Lord. That you, Spirit of God, I pray that you would just do the work, Lord, as a church family. Help us to support them, Lord, and to hold the lifeline as they go and they do the work that we can't do there, Lord. I pray that you'd use his natural ability for the language, Lord. I pray that he would be strong in might in that area, and that you'd give him an opportunity and a place in that town, Lord, that people might be able to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for all that you've already done, but God, we ask for more. We pray that you give him the leadership, Lord, that only a wise God can give. We pray, Lord, that you give him wisdom beyond his years to lead his people, Lord. I pray that you'd give him, Lord, a double portion of your Spirit upon him, Lord, that he might be able to preach, and Lord, that people would be able to just come and receive Jesus on that just a simple message of salvation. I pray you'd help him as he disciples his people, Lord, that they might grow to be witnesses of you as well. Well, thank you and praise you for all that you do, God. I pray that you just be with him now in Jesus' name. Amen. Goodbye. We're going to ask you as a church, if you men have not signed his Bible, or if there's any slots left on the ordination council, if you'll do that now. But church, I'd like for you to stand to your feet. Amen. And Brother George, if you'd stand as well, I want the church to come by and shake hands with you and just encourage you as well. And I appreciate you so much. Brother George, why don't you close us out in prayer tonight?
Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. I really don't know if I get it all, but I have my hope in you. I trust you for everything. Thank you for all that happened tonight. The men that put on my way, people that you used to teach me, to lead me, to help me as I decide to follow you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Parsons, Pastor Carter, and all these men that you use here for this ministry. Lord, I do pray that, Lord, you just help us, you help me, and what you call me to do, to serve. Lord, I ask you to be with each and everyone tonight, came, that you lead us, you guide us, and that, my Lord, you help us to do the best to serve you. I pray and I ask all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.